Welcome to Show Me Your Mic, a podcast where I talk to other podcasters about their podcasts. You can find it online at goodstuff.fm/SMYM and on Twitter, SMYM_FM. I'm your host, Chris Enns, and for this episode, I've got Mike Beesterfield of Jackals.us. Jackals.us is on the show. Mike's a great part of the podcasting community here at Good Stuff and elsewhere, other podcast sites, and is looking to help people get into podcasting with his podcasting network at Jackals.us and the custom CMS he's writing to help run a podcast website. My thanks to Campaign Monitor for sponsoring this episode of Show Me Your Mic. More on them a little later in the show. Now here's my conversation with Mike. Well, thanks, Mike, for joining me on Show Me Your Mic. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's you're a man about podcasts, I guess, is the maybe what they would say. listener turned podcaster, which is probably most of us, I guess. But yeah, it's good to have you on. Before we get into some of your stuff, you're just briefly, I guess, you Jackals.us, Jackals.us is the site people can go to check out where your shows are that we're going to talk about. But what sort of got you into podcasting way back whenever that was?
Well, I would say it probably started with Twit. I remember when I was in college, Tech TV was on here in the States. My parents had DirecTV at college in my dorm. I didn't have our cable. We didn't have Tech TV. And I came home that summer and I spent pretty much the whole summer sitting in front of the TV watching that.
Nice.
And then, of course, Leo's shows ended up getting canceled, and then he started Twit, and I followed him onto there. And I'd say that's probably where I first got my appreciation for podcasting. His shows were definitely the first ones I listened to, you know, The Tech Guy and Mac Break Weekly, which is kind of funny because I've had a few Macs, but they've been company property. I've never actually owned one of my own. Hopefully soon I'll rectify that.
Wait a second. We just got to stop for a second because so you're telling me you don't podcast with a Mac?
It's true.
It's funny. I don't know if you listened to episode 60 yet. Yours will be episode 61, but episode 60 of Show Me Your Mic, not to assume that you listen, but I know you've mentioned in the past you listen. Anyways, episode 60 was with Carrie Halstead of Good Stuff, and she also does not use a Mac to podcast. So I'm treading into dangerous ground here with my Mac credibility. I'm just kidding. Go on.
Well, it is possible to do it. I hear a lot of nice things that the Mac users have, though, because it does seem like that's where the ecosystem is centered around. Like, for example, I don't have a mute button. I know for the Mac, there's a program out there that you can install and set some key on your keyboard to mute, and I cannot find anything like that for the PC. So, you know, sometimes I'm treading into ground that it seems like nobody else has had to deal with, but you know, I'm just stumbling along as best I can.
Yeah, that's what all of us do. And so you're listening to podcasts, Twit and things like that. I assume at some point in there, I became familiar with you through 5x5, I think, is where probably you stumbled across Dan and his shows. What sort of made you want to turn the corner to actually being a podcaster yourself, you know, stepping behind the microphone, so to speak?
Well, I think most people who listen to podcasts secretly or not so secretly want to do podcasts as well. And I participate a lot in the chat room, all the chat rooms. And
all the best chat rooms.
Yeah. And people kept saying we should get together and do a show. And so finally I went ahead and tried to do it. That was almost 2 years ago now. And it didn't go very well. I tried to do a weekly topical show and I couldn't get enough people to agree to do it. Getting people to fit in their schedules. You know, just a weekly topical show is really difficult to do. So to answer your question, I started because I felt like there was a podcast out there for the Jackals, And it is an interview show, so it's not topical. That's worked out really well for me because I can bank shows. I can record three shows in a weekend and I'm set for 3 weeks. You know, someday I'd like to get back to trying to do something topical, but we'll see how my schedule works out.
Yeah, so your original show, The Jackal Chat, right, was kind of geared around that idea of just there's all these people unified listening to these other shows. Why not get together and chat ourselves, right, to sort of the gist of it around topics and things?
Yeah, we kind of looked at what 5x5 hosts had talked about and, you know, let's take a look at that and see if there's any deeper discussion. What do you think about what they said? So It's kind of a continuing theme with me is my podcast about podcasts.
I know the feeling. And for folks who don't know, I guess, do you know what's the story of the name Jackal? And obviously you're using that now for a sort of network name or whatever you want to call it, site name. But what was the, do you remember the, I don't even know actually myself where Jackals came from. I know it's what, yeah.
As far as I know, it was just one day out of the blue. It was actually during a time when the chat room was a little rougher, I guess I would say. I don't know, less friendly, or at least felt that way to some 5x5 hosts. And Merlin referred to the people in chat room as jackals. So as far as I know, that's the history. I think there's something on the 5x5 wiki that really nails it down. But
right. And so then, you started interviewing the guests, or not the guests, the other fellow listeners in the chat room, the jackals in the 5x5's case. And you've since expanded sort of, or I was looking through the names. I don't recognize all the names necessarily. Are they all thus far, you know, primarily you know them through the 5x5 chat and listener group?
Yeah, that's where I've gotten all my listeners so far. I've tried branching out and getting other people to sign on and do it. And I haven't had much luck yet, but it's something I certainly want to do. I specifically, the tagline for the show is an interview of fans of podcasting. And because I wanted to leave it open to that, where I can interview anybody from any network. So it hasn't worked out yet, but hopefully by doing things like this show, maybe I'll get some more participants.
Yeah, and actually, while we're asking that or talking about that, what's the best way for folks to let you know if they want to be on Better Know a Jackal?
Sure. At the top of jackals.us, there's a contact link, and people can just go in there, fill it out, contact me through there, and I'll get back in touch with them.
Cool. Yeah, and I'll put that in the show notes here, too, goodstuff.fm/smym/61, and this is episode 61 of the show, to be on Better Know a Jackal. And I think, yeah, it's a neat idea just talking with folks and the community that's built around something that you enjoy already. That's part of the reason why I did this show, is to talk to other podcasters about this stuff, because it's just kind of fun to pick each other's brains a bit and learn. And you actually had, listener and podcaster as well, Moises Chuyon, on a double episode. I've only actually listened to the first part. Was he the first sort of, what's that, what would that be called? It plays both sides, I guess, or whatever, the first podcaster that you've had on the show as well?
There have been other people who have podcasts. I would say not anybody who has probably the downloads that Moises has, but usually I find out during the interview that they have a podcast. So that's kind of their level of fame, I guess I would say. Mm-hmm. He's probably by far the most downloaded person I've interviewed so far.
Right. Just brings a bit of an audience with him, I guess, eh? Mm-hmm. Which is handy sometimes. And you have another show on there. I don't know. It looks like it's maybe a little bit delayed, or, you know, things happen with podcasting. Cursory and Almost Daily, which I know the feeling of having an Almost Daily show, but Almost Daily show of mostly tech news, mostly without the details. Is that a show that you're is retired or just on the down low so far, just for reasons?
It is on an indefinite hiatus. It's dangerously close to being moved to the retired section. It was just something I wanted to try, and I found doing a daily show is ridiculously hard. even though it was usually less than 5 minutes, the time I had to spend pulling together articles and rewriting them. The idea behind the show was to be a very high level new show about the day, what happened the previous day. And so I felt like I needed to rewrite the content I was reading to add something to it rather than just reading headlines or the headline in the first line of the article. I actually wanted to really compact the news into as few lines as I could. And that was taking me about an hour a day. And I just can't dedicate an hour to doing that every day. The recording obviously didn't take very long since it's only a 5 minute show, but kind of the return on the investment, I just can't put 5 hours a week into a show that only comes out to 25 minutes.
Right. And that's, it's always kind of the inverse reality, of podcasting, where to do it, we could talk for 2 hours here and that'd be easy to release that. And it wouldn't be hard as far as editing, but if I tried to edit the show down to a 10 minute show or something, I could spend another 5 hours editing it. And it's tough to get something shorter and tighter and all that kind of stuff without a lot of extra work, which is sometimes worth it. But yeah, like you said, it's good to try these things and experiment, I think, in podcasting. And you never really know until you actually try it how much work or whatever it will be and what it'll take off. Speaking of work, your site is based on a custom built CMS, right? If I understand correctly.
That's correct. Yeah.
The Cleric CMS. And is this coded, written yourself, or are you involved with other folks doing it, or?
No, I wrote it all myself. It's a Rails app. Right now I'm just running it on Heroku, a free instance, and I'm actually hosting all the media files on HostGator. I have a Patreon that hopefully I'm getting pretty close to the goal of actually paying Heroku for using their service, and I want to move all the media files to Amazon, but I'm not there yet.
Yeah, I noticed you've got doing the Patreon thing too, which is great. I mean, I not just noticed that I'm supporting you on Patreon, so no, I can't pretend complete ignorance or whatever there. But I think it's a neat. I like the idea of obviously the whole world knows about WordPress doing podcasts and supporting or using WordPress to podcast with in general. Anybody who sort of searches out that kind of idea lands on WordPress pretty easily. Squarespace being maybe second or third. I don't know who. It doesn't matter who's first, second, or third or whatever, but. Doing it as a custom CMS, I think, is a neat idea, and especially reading your intention for it is kind of the idea of having it eventually being partially or fully open source, whatever you decide on there, I guess. But and it's something where we do a custom CMS here, good stuff as well. But just not everybody, you know, assuming you have to be locked into the idea of how one platform lays out the site for a podcast when it's not like WordPress isn't built to do podcasting natively. It's an add-on and it works well, but doing things. So what are some of the features that you wanted to build or have built into the CMS that you didn't see elsewhere? Or is it kind of just the nerd thing of I'll just build it because I like to build things, or a bit of both maybe?
Yeah, there are some features that were missing from the other platforms I've used. I've used the Blueberry plugin for WordPress, and I found that really confusing. Maybe if I'd taken some more time to figure it out, but it didn't seem like it was really designed for doing more than one show. And I've used Squarespace in the past as well, and you know that works great for a single podcast. And you could use it for multiple podcasts, but it seems like you would run into growing pains there as well because it's not designed exactly for podcasts. So I wrote this CMS, and what I really wanted to focus on was allowing the people involved to have more control. So for example, if you're a guest on a show, if you're a guest on Better Know Jackal, I have it set that you can log in and edit the show notes, and you can log in and edit your own profile so that I don't have to keep the site up to date. Basically, anytime you want to change something, if you change your website or you change your Twitter, you can log in and do that. You know, if you want to change the show notes because you had your old website in there or something, you can do that too. So I really wanted to focus on allowing this community to edit it themselves without having to contact me. And also with the eventual goal to have other people do podcasts as well. You know, I've built the permissions around that, that they have basically total control over their own show without being able to trample on anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which something like a WordPress or whatever would, you could do that, but it's definitely like a lot of extra sort of plugins, hacks to get it. It's not hacks, that's maybe too disparaging, but it is more work to get sort of the user permissions right for something like multiple people. That's what I used WordPress when I hosted podcasts on SSKTN with a few different people doing their own shows and stuff. And in that scenario, I just kind of trusted everybody that nobody was going to mess around with other people's stuff. But it's nice to be able to just we have something similar with Good Stuff where it's just this person can only see their show and they can't go into and mess around with other people's stuff or accidentally do it or whatever. So yeah, it's how have you handled, you mentioned hosting, like you're sort of just linking out to the media file, the MP3 file, wherever it happens to be, or however you have handled hosting within the CMS itself of the file.
Yeah, the MP3 gets uploaded to HostGator, and I have a proxy link for each show. So I have basic stat tracking. It basically tracks downloads. Because I'm using the free Heroku instance, I get a database with 10,000 rows. I would love to do more stat tracking, but with that amount of data, there's just no way I can do it. Depending on how things go, maybe someday I'll expand that, or I might look at a service. I don't know where I'm going to go with that. I mean, for the shows I envision hosting, I don't know that we need stat tracking down to the super low details. So
right,
you know, we'll see where that goes.
Yeah, is it something where someone could use something like a Libsyn or whatever alongside it, or do you kind of envision more that the CMS would wrap all of that up for you and the user just, like, I guess what I'm getting at, is it geared more for someone, or you would envision it being for someone who just knows how to hit record and then hit upload on the site once they're done their show, or more of the sort of finicky podcaster kind of stuff that you get out of a WordPress thing where you can, you know, sort of mess around with a lot of the file. You could host Libsyn, or you could host PowerPress, or your own little FTP site, or whatever, those kinds of things.
Yeah, it's set up so that you can do that. If you upload it through the site, it saves it to the shared hosting, but you can also just provide a media link and it'll link to that automatically. So, you know, if you did want to put it on Amazon or Libsyn or something, you just paste your link in there and the CMS will take care of it.
Yeah, nice. One of the patron rewards is that you will actually set up an instance of Cleric for somebody to try out, so you can mess around with, which I think for anybody who's only ever used something like WordPress, it's kind of fun just to see what else is out there and how it could possibly work. And so as low as $2 a month, someone could support you and mess around with an instance of Cleric just to try it out, right? And even $5 or $25 a month, you can get it running for them, which I've challenged you on. You asked my feedback and I said, I think you should charge more. we could charge, yeah, you could, for $5 a month for setting up a server, it's a pretty good deal anyways. But I know there's caveats and whatever, you're still programming it. So, it's a neat way, I guess, just to experiment with getting a different style of hosting set up for a podcast and talk, I guess, a bit about how someone might go about that, what would be involved if they were wanting it set up for them, assuming that they're, you know, interested in podcasting and want to podcast and know how to get an MP3 file, but don't really know how to do the web hosting stuff. What would that do for them, and how would that make it life potentially easier for them, I guess?
What I would do, a little secret, at this point, I would pretty much do it for free. You wouldn't have to donate to my Patreon. I would hope you would. I mean, it's only a dollar or two a month, but I'm happy to set it up for someone else, give them a little bit of training. You know, the advantage to me is you have something that's built for podcasting, and it's designed in a way that you can run it pretty cheap. Like I said, I'm running on a free Heroku instance, so that costs nothing. HostGator's, I don't know, $9, $12 a month, whatever it is. You can really set something up quickly and cheaply, and you have a, I'm making big air quotes, podcast network set up and ready to go.
Yeah. That's, I think, like I said, for somebody wanting to play around with this kind of stuff, that's a cheap, easy way to mess around with it a bit and experiment with the sort of fun of that. And it, especially if your goal is to actually record podcasts and not mess around with server stuff, that's what, and, you know, code and things like that. And obviously you could, I'm assuming there'd be a bit of, like, you know, CSS style sheet design stuff they could do to a site where they would be able to, you know, personalize it a little bit, but you have to know code, I guess, to do that. I would assume there's no sort of pre-built templates or things at this point in the CMS.
Yeah, well, I mean, there are the templates that run the current site, but I've built it so that the templates are stored in the database. You can edit them through a web form, so you can update the templates without needing to actually dig into any code or anything like that. And it's got certain protections on it. So if you write something that doesn't compile, it's written in HAML, which is a kind of a Ruby, basically Ruby only templating system. It's there for other languages, but I think Ruby's the big one. And it will show you a preview of what you're changing. And if you do something that breaks the site, it just falls back to a basic template, so your site doesn't completely go offline. And so there's quite a bit of customization you can do without needing to know anything about Rails or Ruby. You can just do it straight through the site. It's not drag and drop like Squarespace, but I don't know, you know, what do people expect for it being free, I guess.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. It sounds like what you have there anyways is impressive enough as it is for something that you're doing, you know, because this isn't, it's not like your day job is to custom build podcasting CMSs, I'm assuming, or maybe you figured out a secret niche job.
No, I wish. That would be great.
I think I keep bugging Tim Smith, he's working on it. He's the guy who, him and a few folks built the Good Stuff CMS, and I think he's, you know, exploring that idea of, obviously, you know, using it as a licensable piece of software or open source parts of it or whatever, all that kind of stuff. And there's definitely a growing market for that kind of idea. It's definitely nowhere near the market for a, you know, a blog or whatever CMS kind of thing like WordPress, obviously, but it's coming, whether it's, you know, a year away or 2 years, who knows. But right now it's the sort of niche geek thing that people like to run their own little servers and things like that. All right. Well, the other thing I want to talk about is your other bit of open source stuff is Showbots, which I know is a kind of a fun, geeky thing that podcast fans who stream live and have chat rooms and things like that is of interest to them. But before we do that, I just want to stop for a moment to thank our sponsor for this episode, which is Campaign Monitor. Campaign Monitor has been supporting Good Stuff .fm since day one, and we thank them for that tremendously. Their service that they provide is, if you need to send out beautiful looking emails to customers, clients, potential customers, friends, family, even if you wanted, if you don't like just sending out stuff out of Outlook or whatever, you can use Campaign Monitor even for that. Building an email list, all that kind of thing is all supported within Campaign Monitor. You can have a beautiful responsive email template, or template, as they say in the States, I think, ready in 60 seconds or less. they've got things like geolocation segments where you can send it specific ways and times to different parts of the world, personalized emails to your subscribers, and with their new iOS app, which has been updated for iOS 8 and iPhone 6, 6 Plus, you can check out and monitor your account right from your phone. So visit campaignmonitor.com and get started today sending amazing emails. Thanks to Campaign Monitor for supporting Good Stuff and Show Me Your Mic. So ShowBot, which is it's one of those funny things, if you're a fan of 5x5 especially, and then now since then, Incomparable, ESN.fm uses something similar, ATP, a lot of the tech podcasts anyways use something similar where it kind of like makes the chat room, which is on IRC, a little more interactive than just otherwise chatting back and forth with the listeners and the hosts of a show. So what is ShowBot, I guess, and what are you hoping to do with it, or what have you done with it?
Well, yeah, ShowBot, from the beginning, basically collected title suggestions for shows. So people listening live in the IRC chat room can type a little command. It's a exclamation S and then title. And the ShowBot would collect those, display them on a web page. People could vote for them. And it just gives the fans a way to interact with the host of the show while it's going on. Usually you get some really great title suggestions. And it also is kind of interesting because you can see the progression of the show, because all of these titles are saved. You can sort them in chronological order. So I would say you could even probably get a pretty good set of show notes if you look back through those, get some reminders of what you actually said. So, but the ShowBot, the original idea, I don't know if he came up with the idea or if someone suggested to him, but the original creator of the ShowBot was Jeremy Mack. He goes by Mute Winter, and he created a Rails app and an IRC bot. And he got distracted by some other things, I think. He does another project, FND.io, which indexes the iTunes or the Apple Store, App Store, and all that stuff. Kind of a nice searchable, better search than than you get through iTunes.
Yeah, it's worlds better.
Yeah, so he moved on to that. There were some problems with the ShowBot, not with anything that he did. There were some problems with interfacing with the API. So I took a shot at rewriting it. I gave it the ability to... the old ShowBot looked at an API to see if a show was live. That's still there, but I changed it so it could look at Twitter. I changed it so you can manually push a new show to get around those problems. And I decided to add a few other features like auto-updating. It uses some JavaScript MVC. I can't remember what it's called off the top of my head. Underscore, maybe? And so it pings the server and automatically updates the vote list, so you don't have to refresh the page. And I've been adding some features lately. There's also a link command that was actually in the original ShowBot as well, but you can submit links that the host might mention or links that you think would be interesting for the show host to see. And a new tab I have is called Questions, and so that's kind of for a QA format show, so that you don't have to scroll through this chat to try to find questions that your users have submitted. So that's used by 5x5, by ESN, and by The Incomparable. And actually, very recently, Dan took over the hosting of ShowBot for 5x5. So he's still pulling code from my GitHub, but I basically don't have much to do with that anymore, with the day-to-day maintenance of it. But still plugging away for Incomparable and ESN, and causes the people, well, there's now there, so now there's basically three versions of Showbot: the one that Mute Winter did, the one I did, and then the much maligned one that Casey List wrote for ATP, which I was discussing this with somebody the other day. He got a lot of flack for a Showbot that I would say security-wise wasn't that far off from the one that the ones that already existed, but he was just in a little more hostile environment. So he's talked several times about that, so I won't go back over it, but you know,
there's controversy even in Showbot land, I guess, in podcasting. That's
yeah and confusion. Yeah. And so you know, I've recently added some security features because of that. So
we forked Mike Mute Winter. The original Jeremy, sorry. I had a friend who used to go by Mute Winter or Winter Mute, I think is what he went by as back in high school, and that's why I get the two confused. But anyways, we forked his the original Showbot that he had used, and that's where we're running on good stuff as well. And it's one of those things where it could be like a standardized thing across different podcast sites, which is, it sounds like it more or less is, but it is, there's just that geek gene or something that like, no, I could probably do it just a little bit different and maybe make it my own. But anyways, that's the, where is your, yours is on GitHub as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the repository or your account, I guess?
I am Mike Biesterfeld on GitHub. So that's github.com/Mike Biesterfeld. I won't try to spell it. You can just go to the show notes to find that.
Yeah. Definitely. Cool. And that's, yeah, it's a neat thing. And that, like, it, that's a sort of an extra level, bonus layer, I guess, of geekdom as far as, podcasting goes. It certainly adds, this show I've sometimes recorded live, sometimes I don't. This particular episode, ironically enough, we're not recording live, so there is no chat room listening and suggesting titles, but on Good Stuff Too, it's fun to, there's certainly people who tune in just to a live stream and listen and are, you know, passively listening, but the folks who actually, you know, log into an IRC chat and then use the Showbot to suggest titles and then vote on the titles afterwards and things like that, it just kind of creates a bit more of a community, and we're all in this together, and lets them listeners help out along the way. And so certainly something to look into if you're at all streaming live for a podcast and looking at doing that. There's I think, like, even folks I know who use like Google Hangouts and things like that to broadcast their show sometimes still have an IRC chat room below, because the Google Hangout chat is kind of janky. And so it would be a situation where you could use something like that. So that's one of the other things where you, one of the rewards, I think, right? Or maybe, no, you don't involve Showbot explicitly in your rewards, but I'm sure somebody could come chat with you and work out a deal to get, if they wanted an instance of a Showbot set up. Is it run off another Heroku instance? Is that how you'd, or how does it, I don't know the technical way that all happens, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can run it on Heroku, and that'll, you know, that's handled an episode of Back to Work that had 300 some titles, and the last episode of Bionic had tons of titles, and you know, a free Heroku instance will handle that. So I can't imagine the size of the show where you'd need to
have that many titles.
put any money towards keeping it going.
Right.
The only problem you run into, and this has only been a problem with 5x5, was the number of titles you get versus and times that by the number of votes, and you start to run into your 10,000 row limit after about 6 months, and you have to go in and clean up extra rows and so forth.
Right, because it doesn't dump them off or whatever that's just in there, and then mm-hmm. you'd have to manually. Yeah, okay. That makes sense, which, again, if it's free, you can probably handle doing that.
Yeah, and do you need last year's title suggestions. I don't know.
I'm sure there's some podcasters that detail oriented that they keep a detailed archive of every single title suggestion. But that's also what a Wikipedia page is for too. So maybe you could offload it to that. So what's the future, I guess, or what's your goals with Jackals? I heard actually Jackals.us US. Did they say in the US, do they say us or US?
You can say either.
Yeah. Your goals for the site, for the podcast network. I heard you, I think it was on the most recent episode of Grit, maybe. Was that was you that called in, I'm assuming, right? So that
mm-hmm. was that talking. Was me.
I actually got cut off halfway through and I haven't listened to see if you actually talked about this. I was like, this sounds an awful lot like Mike. It seems like he's describing what Mike is doing, but it never actually outlined. I mean, you said your name was Mike, but it never actually explicitly said this is what I was doing, but maybe you did later on in the show and I just missed it. But yeah, what is your sort of goals for Jackals?
Well, there's been, you know, a few articles about podcast networks and whether they're needed or not. And I fall in the camp of that they are needed, maybe not for you or me or Dan or anybody else who already is podcasting, but I feel like there's a huge number of people out there who don't even know how to get started. And you can tell them, oh yeah, you just go set up a Squarespace site and put your stuff there. And well, for some people, even as easy as Squarespace is, for some people that's still just outside of their wheelhouse. You know, that's not something they can easily do. You know, the next great podcast may be from you know, some farmer in a small town or something who spends 10 hours a day on a tractor and doesn't have time to set up a Squarespace site, or someone who just doesn't have access to that technology. So what I want to do is to provide people a platform, provide people with some advice to help them get going and post a podcast. Another thing, another advantage of that is, yeah, you could, even if you do know how to set up a Squarespace site and you go and you record 3 episodes and you decide you don't want a podcast anymore, well, you know, you've taken all that time to register your domain and set up your Squarespace site, and now it's just going to basically die in a year when your domain expires. Whereas with this, I hope to give people a way to just give it a shot. Let's try a podcast, see if we like doing it, see if other people like it. If we get to a certain size, then that's the time to look at setting up your own WordPress install or setting up a Squarespace site or something like that. So, you know, I just want to, I recently interviewed somebody and they gave me this term that I've been looking for, to be like a nursery for podcasts. So just a place for people to get a start. They still own their podcasts. If they get to a point where their downloads are high enough and they want to start taking on sponsors and, you know, and my platform can't support it anymore because I'm trying to run it on $10 a month, then, they can take their content with them, start a network or start just a Squarespace site or whatever. But I want to give people a safe, easy place to just take a shot at podcasting and see if it's for them. And without needing to know all the technical details, without needing to have the money to start a site. So, you know, I as I said on Grit, you and I are on third base when it comes to podcasting. We know what we're doing. We know how to get a site up, but there are people who just aren't even at bat when it comes to trying to do something like this. They don't even know where to start, even if they might think they want to do it. So I've been talking to a few people, a few other Jackals, about starting a podcast, and so I'm hoping one of those will come to fruition, and kind of be the first one to kick it off and hopefully start getting some more people to do podcasts and just to give it a try.
Yeah, I think that's the, it's kind of like the, whatever in the baseball or hockey world, like the farm team or in a sense of, you know, just a place to try it out and experiment and then figure out, like you said, if something grows into something bigger. And because that's, I have that same kind of, I don't know if it's passion or interest of like, you know, hating that technology would get in the way of someone being able to create that thing that they'd love to do, whether it is, you know, in our case, we're talking podcasting, but so other folks, it's writing a blog or whatever, where they love to write, but they have no idea how to begin setting up a site and get bogged down in those details and then never actually get to writing the thing that they wanted to write or the photos they wanted to publish or the podcast they want to publish. And so I think that's a great, great little step and way to help out the community that way. And yeah, whether you can certainly look at the idea of carrying the farm team analogy forward, like bringing a show to Good Stuff that's, you know, outgrowing Jackals or something like that, or 5x5 or whatever, any number of the existing networks that are out there, or like you said, starting your own thing. There's certainly ways and interesting things that could happen out of that. So,
yeah, and that's kind of one of my goals is, after I actually get a podcast signed up, is to have some kind of group of advisors, you know, and that maybe we're not there yet. So this isn't like an invitation or anything formal like that. But I've got Chris from Good Stuff and he's listened to your podcast and he's got some feedback for you. Mm-hmm. You've gotten too big. You've got too many downloads for us to handle. Let's shop you around to these other podcast networks. So, you know, I kind of see it as like there is some kind of advisory board or something. I don't know exactly what to call it, but I hope to, in the future, bring on other people who can help foster these podcasts, give them advice, and maybe help them to turn it into something that makes them money.
Yeah, exactly. And then that's where you should have your signing bonus or something. You get a finder's fee.
Well, for right now, I'm pretty much depending on people's goodwill.
And yeah.
That, you know, it's like once you get famous, don't forget the little people kind of thing. But
yeah,
I'm feeling pretty good about the possibility of that working out, where, you know, if I find the next big podcaster, then, you know, I feel like I've built some goodwill with them. You know, they're moving on and I don't want to say riding on their coattails, but I certainly think I would have their ear.
Yeah, no, definitely. And that's, I mean, it's a small but growing community, obviously, of podcasters, and there's always, yeah, ways to help out each other and grow each other's thing, whatever that, whether it's audience or in your case, like bringing more people to your site that want to help produce podcasts and things like that. So, mm-hmm. And there's, yeah. I think there's probably a market or a way for folks who don't necessarily even want to be on a mic all the time, as you know, that's obviously what the medium is podcasting, as audio and talking to microphones. But there's people we need, like people who can write copy and people who can help write show notes and people who can help with getting sponsors and who aren't necessarily a on mic personality or whatever that could be involved. And I feel like that's an underutilized, I guess, area of people being involved in different podcasts and things as well. So mm-hmm. All sorts of stuff.
Also with, there was the Dave Wiskus video about the podcast intervention and right. The whole, what I took away from it was podcasting is like an echo chamber. It's around tech. You're getting all exactly the same people. So if I can provide the technical part of it, maybe we can expand our demographics, I guess. You know, I think one of the problems is that since it's around tech and tech is dominated by basically white guys, that the medium isn't moving forward and we're getting all the same people. And, you know, obviously I'm saying this as a white guy, but I want to also help foster that diversity in podcasting.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And that's, yeah, actually that's another theme picked up from the previous episode of chatting with Carrie about that as well. And anyways, to sort of, yeah, break down some of those barriers of people getting into this medium, I think, because it's a really exciting medium and way to communicate and converse and share ideas and hear stories and all that kind of stuff. And I think in as much as there's a lot of hand-wringing about whether it's the future or whether it's the past or where the show, this medium is going, there's still a lot of things to be figured out. It's still a young industry, as it were, anyways. And so, yeah, it's exciting to see where we'll go. And before I get to your podcast you listen to, we actually haven't talked about how you actually record your podcast. We've talked about your CMS and stuff like that you're building, but what are you using for mics and gear and stuff in the Jackals.us studios?
Well, much like everything else, I've got basically just barely what I need to get by. I've got a Samsung Meteor, and which is a pretty good mic. I'm surprised at the quality for the price. If you look it up, it kind of looks like a silver bullet. But I don't have a shock mount, and I don't have a boom arm or anything like that. I've actually got it sitting on top of a soda can koozie, if you know what that is. So that's my shock mount, and it's getting it up closer to my mouth so that you can actually hear me. So, you know, like I said, just like everything else, I'm basically running as cheap as I can. I use a Windows machine to record. I use Skype call recorder. Or I guess on Windows it's MP3 Skype recorder. I don't even know if it's by the same company who does the Mac one. But and we use Skype or Hangouts to make the call. We do double enders just to help with quality a little bit. We started out using Hangouts. We've done Skype a little bit, and the quality is much better. So I don't know if I'm going to keep doing double enders or not. I mean, we'll see where that goes. But
quality is much better with Skype, or with which one have you found?
With Skype is much better, but then again, double enders is even better. So I've been kind of sticking with that.
You haven't had trouble with double ender being where the guest records their end and then you edit them together. You haven't had trouble as far as getting the guests to record their end or anything like that? Anything difficult as go?
No, I haven't run into that yet. I mean, if that happens, then we'll just deal with it and I'll just use a Skype call or something like that. I'm trying to make it as easy as I can for the person on the other end. Fortunately, so far, everybody has had the ability to record on their end. So yeah, that's it. It's me, a microphone, and a laptop, basically.
And what do you edit in on Windows? Is there some sort of editing software on Windows even?
just use Audacity.
Yeah.
So it's because that's free and does what I need. So that's what I use to record, to edit. I run Audacity, so I'm recording with Audacity right now, and I'm using Skype call recorder just in case something happens. You know, I'm one of those people who has backups for my backups.
Yeah, well, you can never be too careful.
So we've got you recording it, so that's one. I'm recording in Skype call recorder is two, and Audacity, so we've got three copies.
Yeah, and actually, I forgot to this time, because usually when I stream live, it goes through a computer out, and on that computer as it's streaming live, I hit record as well just to have a copy there as well. So it technically we could have had four copies going of this important conversation that and so which actually in not, I always ask guests to record, and obviously it's built in, you know, having podcasters on a podcasting show, generally they know how to record, so it's not a big deal. But my iMac for the first time in 2 years just gave me a little hard disk slow warning about 10 minutes into our conversation, and so there actually will be a little chunk at least to edit, if nothing else. So it worked out well that you're recording your end. And so Yeah, it's and don't send me emails about Mac Windows stuff. I'm just kidding, because it happened to be that Mike and then Carrie before both happened to be on Windows, and I don't care. I think it's awesome, whatever platform you do. Again, to me, the goal is to podcast, not to get bogged down in whether you're using a MacBook or a disgusting HP laptop or whatever it happens to be that you record with. The goal is to get a podcast out, and so that's the main thing. And actually, it's exciting, or it's interesting to me, because I had a few friends in real life here, or clients who want to get into podcasting, and they happen to be on Windows, and I actually have no clue. And so it's worked out well too to just talk about what Windows folks are using for podcasting and recording and stuff like that. So it turns out it's basically all the same, because there's good open source stuff like Audacity to work with. So and then wrapping up, I guess, what podcast do you yourself listen to that these days?
Mm-hmm. I generally only listen live. So,
interesting.
I don't seem to have time to go back and listen to podcasts very often, but I always catch Back to Work on 5x5, the Notco Almanac. I'd say those are probably my two favorites, for completely different reasons. The Notco Almanac. Andy has such a breadth of knowledge. I mean, he knows so everything. Many things, but he also has depth. I mean, I consider myself a trivia person, where I have a wide array of knowledge of things I shouldn't know, which makes it really great for bar trivia. But I can't, there's only one or two things I can talk about that I go really deep on, but he seems to just have so many topics that he can really dig deep on and has so much knowledge on. You know, he talked about, I don't know, opera one time, and linked to some operas on YouTube. And then at the same time, he's talking about the whatever the Samsung watch thing is. And it's just really amazing to me, his amazing breadth of knowledge. And breadth and depth of knowledge. Mm-hmm. Back to Work. That's kind of the show that I'm really big on motivational speaking, like Zig Ziglar. Some people kind of look at that as like a crutch and, you know, why do you need somebody else to tell you what to do? But to me, it just kind of gets me excited about things, gets me going. And Back to Work does that as well. It makes me think about what I'm doing, and why I'm doing it. And, you know, the episode that sticks out to me is the one about agency, you know, who is representing you, whether you like it or not, you know, from your employer to, you know, the person, the neighbor next door. I mean, there's just so many people creating an image of you that you have no idea about. So that episode really made me think. And I would say, obviously, Merlin is a big inspiration for doing a podcast at all. Then I listen to Transmission almost every day that I can. And that's Kyle and Kenny on Good Stuff. 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday, I think.
Yeah.
And and like I said, I tried to do a daily show, and I'm not sure how they do it, because I know they both have day jobs. But you know, I really like having that daily show, and it, even more impressive is that they do an hour or more almost every day. So, you know, it's a kind of a replacement for the frequency that used to be on 5x5. It's kind of the same type of show, just a morning zoo, I guess, using big air quotes again.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to flatter you or anything, but I do listen to Terp on Good Stuff.
I'll take flattery. I don't. It's
not, okay. You know, I really like the discussions that come out of that. It's a talk about a wide variety of topics, but you manage to make them all seem interesting. And by you, I'm using the royal you of you and the other two guys who are on there, whatever their names are.
Two schmucks. But yeah, that show is, yeah, I appreciate that.
And lastly, from ESN, I've been listening to Night Moves with R. Stevens and Moises. He's just a really funny guy. I like hearing how his mind works. He's gotten me back to listening to Coast AM. And I don't know if you know what that is, but
no,
it's on here in the States for sure. It's on, it starts at like midnight. So I'll listen on their website or whatever, but it's people calling in about paranormal things, and conspiracy theories. And, it's very entertaining to listen to. And he talks about those kinds of things just for fun. And so I've really been enjoying that new show.
Interesting. So when you say you'd listen primarily live, would you, whatever show it is, Back to Work or Transmission, doesn't matter, but if you just happen to miss it, you kind of treat it more like radio in that I won't go back and listen to Monday's show of, you know, the local radio talk show or whatever that happens to be on. Right? Or do you periodically you might go back, but otherwise you'd kind of just, if you miss it when it's live, then you just miss it and you move on to the next one?
Yeah, periodically I'll go back. But for the most part, if I don't catch it live, I'm probably not going to listen to it, just because I work from home, so I don't have a commute to have time to listen to anything, like any podcasts or anything. But actually, I'm starting another show that is going to basically require me to start listening to other podcasts. I'm getting together with some more jackals, and we're going to do a podcast about podcasts, of course. But it'll basically be, what are you listening to and what do you like about it? Kind of like what we're talking about now.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I know Dave Rupert's and I have chatted about that, like something similar, that needing, kind of like, you know, every industry has its commentators on itself, and you don't want tons of those, obviously, but it's an interesting thing to hear about and talk about is, you know, what's happening with Back to Work as a podcast and just the bigger picture stuff, or yeah, whatever angle you guys take on it, obviously, is going to be interesting, I think. But just a bit of commentary on the industry is okay. And it doesn't always have to mean big, long blog post argument style stuff that sometimes flares up. It can be just, you know, normal conversation too. Mm-hmm. So,
and it kind of follows the theme of Better Know a Jackal, where it's more about learning about the audience, I guess, than the medium itself. So kind of like market research almost, where I'm asking questions about the podcast, and then hopefully we can use that to determine where do we go from here. You know, what do you like about Back to Work? What can we learn from that so that we can make better podcasts? Is there some niche that podcasting isn't filling now that it should? You know, what do you think this show could do better? I think a lot of interesting interesting answers will come out of that.
Yeah, because it is hard to get. I mean, sometimes you get the negative feedback, I guess, but there isn't a lot of, like, we tend to podcast in a vacuum, and it almost feels like sometimes where the people just listen and we put it out, and never the two shall meet almost. And even just hearing you saying that you would traditionally just, or typically will just listen live, and that's fine. It flies in the face, in a sense, of what traditionally podcasters think of, like, well, people don't do that anymore, because that was radio, and now you can listen to it whenever you want. And so obviously you'll just download it and, you know, listen that way. And probably I would guess the majority of podcast folks are doing that, but it's still interesting to hear from people who don't do just the norm, and who hear, yeah, like you said, listen whenever they can, but won't go back necessarily or whatever, mm-hmm. whatever the case may be. So when is yeah. that, is there any definite plans or is it kind of just in the works still for when that show?
Still in the works, probably see the first episode around January. It's a little more intensive show than Better Know Jackal because now I'm putting some of the work onto the to the guest. So I'm kind of got a little more need a little more runway on that so that they have time to figure out what they're going to talk about.
Yeah. All right. And are you open to listeners contacting you about that show too? If they want to appear on it.
Definitely.
So similar way of getting in touch with you. And so I guess do I need to ask what app you listen to podcasts with, or you just use the web browser if they're,
when I do use an app, I use Overcast. Though I still am just using the free version. I guess obviously because I don't listen to podcasts that often, but it seems to be the best one for me. I had Instacast, I think. Mm-hmm. Is that the one? I used that for a long time. But I don't know why I switched. I guess just because Overcast was the new shiny thing.
And, yeah.
And I follow the shiny things.
Yeah, exactly. Don't we all? Cool. Well, so where can folks find you, follow you on the internets these days, Mike?
Well, I've got jackals.us. That's usually the easiest way to find more about me. Links to who I am because my name is difficult to spell, but I'm also Mike Biesterfeld on Twitter. And I think that's about it. Well, I'm almost always in the chat room on IRC for 5x5 and Good Stuff and all the great networks.
All the great networks. what is that? Back to Work and I guess probably more officially the why am I drawing a blank on Merlin's other show?
Roderick Online.
Yeah, that's what I blanked on for some reason. Cool. Well, thanks, Mike, for coming on, and I look forward to hearing all about all your great shows, the new ones, and also seeing where you go with the CMS. I think that's exciting, and I know there's you've helped out in the GitHub thing. with the Good Stuff CMS and suggestions there too. And I think any sort of amount of sharing of that kind of information, because again, I keep harping on this, but the idea being we all want a podcast. That's what we're here to do in as much as we're programmers, some of us and different ways and designers and things, but ultimately we got into this to do some podcasting. And so whatever helps elevate the medium in that way, get some of the tech out of the way for the rest of us is awesome. And great to see happen. This has been episode 61 of Show Me Your Mic, which you can find online at goodstuff.fm/smym. And if you throw a /61, you'll get right to this episode where all the links to the various things we talked about, Mike's Twitter account, etc., so you don't have to spell it, is all there. Goodstuff_FM is where you can follow Good Stuff on the Twitter. I'm iChris. And Show Me Your Mic has its own account as well, smym_FM. If you've got a suggestion, a comment, concern, maybe not hate mail, but just, critique, thoughts about the show, I'd love to hear from you. You can ping me on Twitter or chris@goodstuff.fm is where you can email me directly. And my thanks to Campaign Monitor for sponsoring this episode of Show Me Your Mic. Till next time, thanks for listening. Have a good day. Bye.